Well, I hope everyone had a good Christmas season. Slowly thinking about how to lose the weight of all the things we got from all those good meals from Christmas. Today we start a new year. We start a new year with a new focus. A focus on God and His holiness. We'll be spending the year in trying to figure out how to be holy as He is holy. And our responsibility to be holy as He is holy. Our country, through its churches, has tried to bring Jesus down to us. Ask Him to join us. To make us comfortable, make Him comfortable with us, making Him just one of the boys, enjoying life as we choose to with God in our presence. But he did not come to make us comfortable in Satan's world. He did not come to give us our best life now in comfort. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Jesus is the only begotten Son of God who left the right hand of the Father, who came down to be born in a manger, to walk among sinful men, to reveal God to man, to be put on that cross for man's penalty, to be buried, risen on the third day, and put back on the right hand of the Father where He waits for us. He did not come to come down to us. He came down to redeem us to a holy God and to call us back to Him. We are not to try to be comfortable in this life. We are to try to learn how to be true sons and daughters of the Most High God. He is not our homeboy. He is not our drinking buddy. He is not a friend to party with or tour guide of heaven that we can go to forevermore. Our call, once again, is to realize He is the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords, called to be worshipped by us, called to make sure that we realize exactly who He is. And our position is as a joint heir to that King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is why 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy." Notice the signs. That is our focus for the entire year, trying to learn how to return to that holiness that this country has decided to turn its back on. It's holiness to God, not comfort in the world, that I am to seek, to respect, to search for. I do not want people to look at the Bible and to see what they can get away with and still be accepted. I want people to look in the Bible and say, how can I please a God that has given so much to me? Not focusing on my comfort, but focusing on He who gave me so much. He who wants me to return to Him. He who wants me to be a child of the Most High God, living that royal position. We see the high cost of sin on the cross. Sin which separates us from a holy God. We are called to so much more than fire insurance. Fire insurance is not what He came down to give us. Fire insurance from hell is offered to us. We are to accept it in grace, in joy. But we are called to be part of His royal family, in His royal line, showing the holiness of our God. His work on the cross called us to be redeemed, called us to be holy ambassadors to the sinful world, called us to show what holiness is, that the world may be drawn to His holiness, by being drawn to that holiness, being accepted in God, and showing that there is salvation. There is hope in this absolutely hopeless world. But sin separates us from that. Let's look at the high cost of sin and what separates us from a holy God. Please stand and respect the word as we read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 46. So Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, we realize that sin separates everything from a holy God. You turned your back on your only begotten Son, who is God. And if you turn your back on God, we see the high cost of sin. Why you turn your back on us. Why you have turned your back on creation. Because we have chosen sin over a holiness of God. But Lord, you are not satisfied with that. You sent your Son to die on the cross. You sent your Son to take that sin on Himself, to accept that separation from a holy God which He had never faced before. What He tried to avoid by praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood that cup may pass, but knowing it was necessary and obeying you to go to the cross, that we may be redeemed to a holy God. Let us learn what the cost of that holiness is, what the cost of that sin is, and why we need to accept holiness and not comfort in this life. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Please take your seats. Now, this is the very Son of God, who is God, closer than anything on earth is God and His Son, because they are one essence. And He faced separation. He faced incredible grief. And it was not just because of the pain of the cross. That is the most miserable death there is. But that is not why He wanted that cup to pass from Him. It's because He did not want to face the separation that was required because of His sin from a holy God. And yet He did. He did it for you. He did it that you may then be redeemed to that holy God, may be returned to holiness. The same fear of God that we should have, whether saved or not saved, we need to understand that sin separates us from that God. We were meant to be with Him forevermore, but we chose sin instead. And that sin separates us, as it did Jesus Christ on the cross. Sin separates. Our God is holy. He cannot tolerate sin, even if it's on His only begotten Son. So let us see why God forsakes us. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We can ask that as a lost person. We can ask that as a saved person. And we can ask that as a nation. So, as a lost man, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did you not create me? Did you not want to love me? Did you not want me to worship you? You created me to show that love. But from the very beginning, I have sinned against you in Adam. My sin in Adam, my father, has caused me to be driven from the very presence of God. We see that right from the very beginning. Turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, and we'll see why we are separated from that holy God. So Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So we see God drove man from his presence because he could not tolerate the sin of his rebellion. So much so that not only was he driven from the Garden of Eden, but he showed that separation. If they returned back, they would see the cherubim. They would see flaming swords saying, you will not return. You cannot return. You have rebelled against the holy God. That is the cost of your sin. But you say, that's not fair. I'm not Adam. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I didn't eat the fruit. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, the first half, says that the wages of sin is death. Adam, eating a small piece of fruit, caused all the pain, all the suffering, all the perversions you see in Fox News when you turn it on today. It caused everything. It caused Satan to give us all the penalties we see. That was eaten from a piece of fruit. Trust me, your sin is far worse than that. Your sin and rebellion is more than Adam could be, and you can't help it because we have a sin nature. Anyone who's raised kids knows about a sin nature. No, the kid learns how to lie. Did he have to learn how to lie? It comes to him very naturally because that is in his nature. My sins have caused me to reject my God. He has rejected me, turned from me, because of that sin. We have a creation that absolutely demands a creator. But we have rejected the creator because we want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Loving the darkness of Satan's world over the light of Christ. Everyone knows about John 3:16. You watch the Patriots next week, someone will hold up a sign saying John 3:16. Love of God, for God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What glorious words. And we have taken that to think that God loves us so much that He'll accept us as we are. He does. But then we have to turn to His holiness. But there's more to John chapter 3 than just that. Turn over to John chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 17 to 21 and seeing the high cost of rejection and why we need to return to holiness. So, John chapter 3, looking at verse 17, we read this. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Praise God. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But, very important word, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So as sinners, we are condemned to an eternity in hell, and there is absolutely nothing we can do about it. He has turned his back on us because we have rejected him, worshiping the flesh instead of the God of the eternal spirit, seeking to live the life of Cain rather than the original holiness of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were made in holiness. Adam and Eve had no sin nature. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. They talked with him. We cannot do it because we have his sin nature. We have the fallen nature, and we have been driven from his presence. We have been driven from the Garden of Eden, and there are flaming swords to stop us from returning. We can only return one way, and that's the special door he made for us through Jesus Christ. So, my God, why have you forsaken me? My sin has caused God to forsake me. But there's hope. There's hope for everyone. God was not satisfied with that. Yes, my sins have separated me from a holy God. I need to return to holiness, but I have no idea how. Since I don't, God made that way. Romans 5:8 says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We have a door back to holiness. We have a way to get back to holiness, but we have to do it God's way. And Romans 6:23, the second half, is the most glorious part of a sentence in the whole Bible. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He hasn't. He has rejected me because I have rejected him. I came to him, I repented, I accepted that free gift of his death on the cross, and by that, he accepted that as righteousness. He made me holy. Everyone here who is saved is holy, positionally. You have been set aside for God's service. You have been set aside as his son. You have been set aside to serve him. What we're going to spend this entire year doing is figuring out how to live that position. We have the position. Every one of you is a child of the Most High God, adopted into his royal family. Every one of you is called to serve him in spirit and truth. Every one of you is a joint heir of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords if you are saved. Our job is to learn how to live that position, how to figure out what that holiness is. So, the gift of God is being reconciled a sinful man to a holy God, leaving his world of sin. He calls you to holiness in his kingdom. So now, I'm a saved man. But I'm a saved man, and I sit there. And sometimes I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. Have you ever had that feeling? Anyone here ever have that feeling? I have. Okay, so, what does the world through our churches say today? Once saved, God loves you. You will have no problems at all. You will have your best life now. God will give you absolutely everything that you want because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and he is pleased to give it to you. All you have to do is ask. That's not the way it works. Many complain that their prayers seem to hit the ceilings. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Maybe it's because your focus is not on that holy God that saved you. Maybe it's because your focus is on the things that you think those churches will give you. Maybe you think you want to live your best life now and you've rejected the holiness of God to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Maybe like Demas, you have left Paul and his word preferring this present world. Psalm 66:18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because like Lot's wife, you have looked back and missed the life you were saved from. And Isaiah 59:2 points that out. It says, but our iniquities have separated us between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. But you say, that's Old Testament. That's law. They were under the law. God did that under the law. We're under grace. Okay? Under grace, God says basically the same thing. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he will heareth. Holiness and worship and doing his will in all his ways, God will answer your prayers because that makes you holy in his sight. Your position is then matched by your actions. That is what he calls us to do. Husbands, why has God forsaken you? 1 Peter 3:7 says this, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Holiness is needed in all aspects of our life. Holiness is needed in the church. Holiness is needed in the home. Holiness is needed in your jobs. Holiness is needed in the country. Without it, God has forsaken you because you have rejected Him. God will ignore your prayers as a loving father ignores the desires of a sinning son until that son straightens up. If that son doesn't straighten up, the father will keep chastising him. The same is true with you. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even as saved, it may be because you lack faith. Turn over to James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Going all over the Bible today because the holiness is required all over the Bible. So James chapter 1, starting at verse 6. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." I'm walking into the lawyer's desk to sign the bankruptcy papers as I ask God to give me the funds to pay my debts. That's about as double-minded as you can get. That's the way a lot of us work. We pray to fill a square. I prayed, it didn't work, so I'm going to do it my way. That lacks faith. If you want something from God, the holiness of God, you need to have faith that He will answer. If you have focus on your flesh and not God, pleasing yourself and glorifying God, He won't answer those prayers either. Same book, James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." In general, what that means is you honor self instead of the holiness of God. You're trying to have your best life now. You are demanding comfort from Him. You're a living sacrifice, is what Romans 12, 1 says. A living sacrifice has no choice of how He's going to be used. A living sacrifice means exactly that. You are sacrificing your life to be used as He sees fit. If He chooses to bless you, praise God for it, give Him thanks, and use it glorifying God. If He chooses to put you on a cross and light a fire beneath you, He will give you the grace to get through it. Praise God, His will is done through you. That is what we need to do. That's what holiness is, making your will His will. If you make your will His will, or make His will your will, I should say, in a better order, then He will answer those prayers to let you accomplish His will. That is what we need to do in this church. That is what you need to do in His home, in your homes. That's what we need to do in the world. So if saved, you cannot lose your salvation. Make no mistake. But you can still cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ Himself cried those very words on the cross. The only begotten Son of God, who is God, bearing your sins on the cross, had to cry those because God could not look upon Jesus with your sins on Him. If you choose to retain your sins on yourself, choosing to prefer the pleasures of sin for a season over His holiness, if you turned His back on His only Son, who is God, His only begotten Son, who is God, will He not turn His back upon you if you choose to retain those sins on yourself? So if you are wondering why my prayers keep hitting the ceilings, it's because you are still regarding iniquity in your heart. So if you, being saved is a walk of holiness. Failing holiness, He will forsake you until you return to Him, or you suffer loss in the bema seat as one who was saved and did not accomplish what God intended on His calling. If you have been separated from the Heavenly Father by your sin, having no joy as you have not lived up to His holiness, there's hope. There's always hope. God does not want to leave us in a miserable, hopeless position, especially as an adopted son or daughter of God. 1 John 1:9 says this, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If you humble yourself in front of a holy God, He will honor that repentance and return you back to His holiness. He will then accept you once again as a true child of God. He will then allow you to have the joy and blessings of heaven. He will return you that holiness as He is holy, and you will then enjoy being that child of God. So if your prayers are hitting the ceiling, look in the mirror first before you do anything else. Now, our nation used to be a blessed nation. Our nation was a great nation. Our nation served God, and God blessed it. But we seem to have fallen short of that. You may look around as the nation once blessed, and you might cry out as one who used to be in such a blessed nation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But we've been left to our own devices because we've chose to reject God. You go to any public school today, what's the one book that's not allowed? The Bible. What's the one speech you cannot make? Anything that uses the word Jesus Christ in it. We have turned our back from God, and we expect Him still to bless us? So, much like Israel, when they suffered as His chosen nation by mocking God and giving credit to idols, we will follow the same path. I'm going to read from Zephaniah 2, 1 to 3. If you're there, that's fine. But in Zephaniah chapter 2, 1 through 3, we see our future in Israel's past. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Being forsaken for our sins, if you look out there right now, we are a nation not desired. He blessed Israel greatly. He blessed it as His chosen nation. They will return to the promised land in the millennial kingdom. They will have all the promises God gave them when they return and accept their Messiah. But until then, they are suffering the wrath of God. If His chosen nation from the Old Testament was rejected, how much more will we be rejected if we reject Him the same way? Israel was established by God, blessed by God, led by God, enriched by God, and kept safe by God. And then they worshipped and honored other gods. Our God's a jealous God. Turn back to Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 to 6. You see, we're jumping all over the Bible today because holiness is spread all through the Bible. So Exodus 20, verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. God brought Israel out of the land of sin and bondage. Serving idols, God gave them time to repent. They had a lot of time to repent. They refused to. Refusing, God allowed the Assyrians and the Babylonians to take them captive. God brought the United States out of the land of religious confusion and bondage of Europe. And when we turned to Him, God greatly blessed this nation, protected this nation, kept us safe. But we have returned to the world's idols and science falsely so-called and tolerance for every perversion that the world religions allow, but not Jesus Christ. Our God is a jealous God. He has given us space as a nation to repent and turn back to Him. If we fail, and we seem to be failing, He will forsake us and judge us with the rest of the world. I see the violence. I see the storms. I see the disasters. I see the unpayable debt that we have as this nation. And the perversions, mocking of God, calling all manners of sin righteous in a world that is now tolerant of everything except Christianity. And I understand why our God hath forsaken us. Turning our backs on God, we have joined the realms of nations not desired, as Zephaniah called. Lifted so high by blessings from our God, our fall will be so much worse. God will allow us to fall, and we will fall hard because we have rejected Him and we have not used the space He's given us to repent and turn back to Him. As Christians, let us follow Zephaniah and seek His righteousness, that we may be hid in the day of His anger. It's coming, but His remnant will always be protected. His remnant will always be blessed. And we need to be part of that remnant. Now, Jesus Christ asked, when He returns, will He find faith on the earth? The answer better be yes, because it better be us if He doesn't tarry any returns. We see the doom of our near future, worshiping our modern Baals. We will suffer the same fate as Israel and be carried off. But as with everything else, there is hope. As a nation, we need to return to His holiness. As 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Seeing the history of Israel's rise, blessings, and fall, we need to see our same rise and blessings and soon fall. Let us learn from Israel. Let us take that space He has given us to repent and do that as a nation. We need to start in this church by praying for our leaders that they may follow that wisdom. So as we look, as we start this whole study on holiness, we need to realize that holiness is the standard of the Father who adopted us into His family. We need to learn the standards. We need to live the standards. We need to love the standards as you love your earthly fathers. Your earthly fathers had rules that you lived by. You followed those rules, your Father was pleased with you. You lived a more blessed life. Our Heavenly Father is no different. He has a set of standards. He has a family set of rules. And we're to learn and follow them. We do, we'll be blessed. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." The unsaved are separated from God by their sin, choosing the pleasure of sin for a season over His eternal holiness. They will receive the reward of their God, which is Satan, and burn in an eternity of hell. Not popular today, but that is the truth in the Bible. The saved who reject this holiness, the compromise with the world, they may be saved, they may go to heaven, but they will feel the separation that Jesus Christ faced on the cross. Saved, but turning from holiness to the pleasures of flesh. Seeking God in their trouble, but not receiving His answers. Why? Because like Demas, they've preferred the pleasures of sin over serving God. And God, if we have regard iniquity in our hearts, will not hear us. If you cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, as you do not live for Him, He's not going to answer your prayers. You need to return to that holiness. And a nation rejecting God's holiness will be a nation not desired by God, judged and punished by the God who blessed us so. Sin is what causes God to have separation from us. Our sin caused God to separate Himself from His only begotten Son. It was our sin. It was my sin. My sin caused God to turn His head from His only begotten Son on the cross and having Jesus Christ yell, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If I regard that iniquity in my heart, do you think God will not turn His head from me if He turned His head when my sin was on Him? We need to ensure that we take care of that sin. We need to ensure that it stays on that cross, that He suffers the separation that He did on the cross and not me by taking that sin back. So, if you find yourself crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You need to look in the mirror. First, are you saved? Are you certain you're saved? If you're always praying and getting nothing, are you certain you're saved? Did you have a time where you realized you were a sinner? You realized you were going to hell? You realized you turned your back on a holy God? And by turning your back on a holy God, you're rejected by Him and condemned by Him because you refused the gift of Christ. If that's you, there's hope. Today, turn to Him. That's why He came on the cross. That's why He died, to take your sins, to suffer your separation, to be then reconciled to that holy God, to sit on the right hand of the Father where He waits to call you to Him. That's your only cure. Give up your rights to sin to Christ and receive His righteousness imputed upon you. If you're saved, look in the mirror. Check for iniquity in your heart. If you're choosing to enjoy sin for a season over His holiness, your sin is not on the cross. Your sin is still upon you, causing God to turn His head from you. He will not answer your prayers because you have chosen the world over holiness. He turned His head from His only begotten Son. Once again, He will turn His head from you. One with no guilt, He turned His head from. We have guilt. He's taken that guilt from us if we accept His holiness. Accept it and turn back to Him. Holiness is dying to self and living by Christ's example. Christ took our sin and gave to us His holiness. Take His free gift. Be reconciled as a sinful man to a holy God and then learn to live those new family rules. Holiness is nothing more than understanding what He calls us to do, following what's in this book. And it's not legalism. It's not saying, I must follow this so He does not punish me. It is realizing, I have a Heavenly Father that loves me. I want to please him. I want to do the things that please him. And when I fail, I will go to him and ask forgiveness. It's not a checklist that you follow every day. It's an attitude we'll look at next week. It's an attitude of, I want to please my Heavenly Father. Don't see how close to the edge you can come. He hasn't spanked me yet. My daughter used to do that. He hasn't spanked me. Oh, too far. That's not what we want to do. Lord, if I'm pleasing to you right here, let me learn how to please you even more. Let me stay away from that edge. Let me learn what you would have me to do. That is the attitude we need. We seek not to bring Jesus down to us, to provide fire insurance, and think we can have him enjoy life with us on this world. We realize he condescended to our low estate. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with every angel who comes into his presence, bows to his glory because they can't help it. You know, the Apostle John went up to heaven to write the book of Revelation. Every time he ran into an angel or anything up there, he tried to worship it. How much more would the angels and us worship Jesus Christ? That's the glory he left, to condescend to our estate, to take our sins that we may approach him. We need to realize that, who he is, what he is, and worship him in spirit and truth. So, condescending our low estate, if you're feeling separated from God, it's because you stayed down here. We need to go to him. We need to be lifted up to serve him. We need to realize our position and learn to live that position. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There is only one answer. The answer is sin. Take care of it. If saved, take care of it by getting the iniquity out of your heart and asking forgiveness. If unsaved, go to the cross and let that blood cover you. And as a nation, turn to him as a nation, and he will bless that nation. So you need to repent and be cleansed. With that, we're going to do that, a picture of that this afternoon with communion. So turn to page 490 and let us sing, Take My Life and Let It Be. Every one of us at one time has cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because we rejected that loving God. We rejected it with our sins. We rejected him, and therefore he turned his head from us. But he sent his son to die on that cross. He sent his son to shed that blood, to cover that sin, that you could return to his holiness. If you've never done it, if you realize that he's turned his head for a reason, it's because of your sin. He wants you to return to him, to repent of that sin, to give your sin to him on that cross, to let it be covered, and then live for him forevermore. If there's anybody here who has never accepted that free gift, we see the cost. We see he turned his head on Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God who is God. That's the high cost of your sin. That is the separation that you face. It'll be a separation that's eternity in hell. Most important question you can ask, did I accept that gift? No. He died for us when we were yet sinners, is what Romans 5:10 says, when we were his enemies. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is what you need to have today. Once that happens, that's a babe in Christ. You learn to live the rules. Learn to live the family rules. Every one of us has family rules. We need to understand our Heavenly Father's rules. We do that, we have the joy of being his son or daughter. If we refuse, he'll chastise us, just like our parents chastised us. And he will not listen to our prayers because we are asking him the wrong way and not in his holiness. So, if you're saved, and you're sitting every time I pray, my prayer hits the ceiling, hits me right back in the head, and I have nothing at all to show for it. Look in your heart. Are you regarding iniquity? If you are, ask forgiveness for today. 1 John 1:9 says he's faithful and just to forgive that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That means to take that sin away from you, that he can look on you because he's looking on you through the blood of Christ, which has cleansed you. That you have his holiness. Now we need to learn to live that holiness. If you're not doing it, ask God to help you today. I guarantee every one of you will fail. Your pastor fails constantly. But we can get to holiness by returning to him and asking forgiveness. As soon as you know your sin, ask for forgiveness for it, and he will give it to you, and that's what holiness is. It's an attitude, not actions. The attitude is, I want to please my God. If there's anybody here, as we go to get ready to pray, commit yourself back to that. Commit yourself to pleasing God. Not just avoiding his wrath. That's an important thing. But your real goal is to please that Heavenly Father that has adopted you into his family. He has set you aside to be a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Learn to live that position. And as Richard played one verse, let's go to prayer and ask. If you've never been saved, ask God to save you. I'll show you how. And if you are saved but having problems, go to God and ask for forgiveness.
Heavenly Father, we live in a world that you have seemingly forsaken. We live in a world that has chosen to ignore your holiness. We have live in a world that has chosen to live in its sin, to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, mocking your holiness. Not only turning from it, but mocking it. And Lord, because of that, we will suffer the judgment of a holy God. We will see you return in righteousness to put the world right as you punish sin. But Lord, let us, as Christians, come to you in holiness. Come to you learning how to live for you. Not listening to the world's ideas, but listening to yours, the timeless, immortal words of the Bible. And Lord, if any be here is not saved, allow them to understand that there is a way to get to holiness. And it is through the door provided by Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ shed on the cross for them. And let that blood cleanse them of all unrighteousness, that they can learn how to be holy. And in those who are saved, Lord, if we have failed you by looking to the world's pleasures rather than your holiness, let us ask forgiveness today. Be restored to our Heavenly Father. Be restored to his good graces, feeling the joy once again of his presence. Lord, we pray for this nation that it will turn. But if it doesn't, let us remain righteous in your word, your way, your will. And let us go from this church today knowing that you are with us, knowing that you will keep us hid in your protection, and knowing that we will be with you forevermore. We ask all of it in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. And with that, he is holy, and you are dismissed.